Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke. As you'll hear later in the show, a performance this weekend at the Linden Sculpture Garden will allow theatergoers the opportunity to picnic ahead of the show. It is the picnic season in Wisconsin, after all, and if your picnic plans include a bottle or two of wine, contributor Ray Pfister's conversation with Bonnie North might interest you. It's about some wines that might strike your fancy, originating at some area wineries he's had the chance to visit.
Yeah, just a little day trip. We hit three wineries. We've been to a number of wineries in the past up in Kewaunee, Parallel 44, which we visited a few times, and they really make some great wine. And what's nice about what Steve Johnson's doing up there is it's all local grapes. And, of course, we've been to Wollersheim in the past, which is a wonderful winery. Fisher King, which is out in Mount Horeb, a place I very strongly recommend, a really cute little tasting room, a really great guy, again, trying to make both local wines and other things in the process. But this particular trip, we went more south-central Wisconsin, I guess you'd say, in the Lake Geneva area. And went to three different places. One was called Stoller Estate and Vineyard. And an interesting, more farm-like place. It actually is a farm. Of course, when you get right down to it, most wineries are that. They had their own vineyards that they were, of course, working in and some new plantings there. It was a nice tasting, nice experience, fairly simple.
What kinds of things are they producing?
Primarily, you know, local grapes, that kind of thing. They're also bringing some fruit in from, I believe, Washington.
Okay.
And some New York State, if I'm not mistaken, again, so I may not want to be quoted on that, actually. But, you know, it was nice. It was a simple experience. After that, we went to the one that I considered actually the best, and that was called Studio Winery in Lake Geneva. It's right off of the main drag in Lake Geneva. And for me, it was kind of like the best of all worlds because this couple had an art studio. They had, of course, the winery, and then they had a recording studio. And the owner,
I'm surprised you're still not there.
I was a little bit like that.
Yeah.
The guy had some really great gear. He had some great vintage stuff. It was a really good size space that they've converted. They're still working on the studio part. But, you know, like any other winery, you walk in, they have all the tchotchke, all the cute little things you can buy that go along with wine. A lot of their fruit is coming from out of state. I can't say, again, how much they're doing locally. I'm not sure there is much. Oh, I'm sorry. There is some fruit coming from Illinois. And interesting guy. And his wife is the artist, so she designs much of the labels. What I drank, I really enjoyed, but more importantly, the experience, being in the place. I've always said you may go to some smaller wineries, not necessarily in wine capitals, but it's the people you're with, the experience you have at the time. I can remember experiences like that 25, 30 years ago.
And Lake Geneva is so close.
Exactly.
It's just so easy to get there, and you can have that kind of tasting experience as well as maybe buy some of the art and then wander around Lake Geneva, which is always fun.
Yeah, and it's a real simple place to go to. You can belly up to the bar or you can have a little bit more of a higher-end tasting. They seem to cater to all kinds of things, and that's what impressed me. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe they also do the drink and art thing so you come in and paint while enjoying your wine. So it's a real smart layout and it's multifaceted. Even in the front, by the driveway is a couple of small vines, which is kind of cute. I mean, it's nothing that's probably going to really produce anything great to drink, but it's just very nice how it's laid out.
All right. So you did that. But now, of course, we've got summer. What kinds of things are good? I mean, I like to drink all kinds of wine all year round, but there are some particular things I think that people think of as summer wines. And what would you recommend?
Well, the first thing I always tell people is try to keep an open mind. God knows I'm one of those people you have to say that to twice. But I've learned. For example, I talk Riesling with people and they look at me going, oh, that's too sweet. It's like, no. If you try a good, proper Riesling, it can be pretty amazing. In Napa Valley, there's a couple of guys, winery called Smith Madrone. They make a fabulous dry Riesling. We just did an interview with a guy by the name of Christian Witt, who is from Germany, making a wine called Schloss Johannesburg. Impressed I actually said that. Wonderful.
The Johannesburg Castle.
There you
yes.
go. Making three dry Rieslings that were fabulous. I think what was difficult for these particular wines for the average American is the labels are very traditional looking, extremely traditional. And the information is not what I would say forthcoming. So when you look at them, you're going to look at them and go, well, geez, that's going to be a typical sweet. Open your mind up. Try it. For the cost of one bottle, it's worth it. And their prices, their wines are very reasonable.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with a good sweet wine if it's good.
True.
You know, and that's the other thing I think we have. Maybe it harkens back too much to high school times and Boone's Farm or something like that. But there's nothing wrong with a good sweet or a fortified wine. if it's good.
I was more of a Firebird man myself back then.
Okay.
But true. It just depends. I mean, there are, of course, in northern Wisconsin, Door County Winery doing apple cherry, that kind of thing. And I have tried some of those wines. And believe it or not, they're interesting to drink. They're not something I personally go wild over. But they have definitely more of a wine taste than they do a syrupy sweet taste, which I think is one thing people want to stay away from. But back to your original question, I'm a big Sauvignon Blanc drinker. I love it. It's a great light wine. If you ever want to have a great meal, have it with scallops. Scallops and Sauvignon Blanc will make you crazy, especially really well done, really well-made scallops. Rosés, you know, here locally, if you go to Thief Wine in the Market, he has a fabulous selection of rosés. I love it more than even some major stores. It's from all over the place, France, from California, from Finger Lakes, and it's great. These are the kind of things you should try. I just got some J. Lore sent to me, Gesture. It's about a $17 bottle of Grenache rosé. Absolutely blew me away. I had a guest over at my house. We just sat here kind of looking at each other going, this is really amazing. Great summer wine, nice and chilled, that kind of a thing.
It's also good sparkling too.
It is. Well, I'm a big sparkling fan. You always recommend sparkling wines. It's not just a celebratory drink. It's an everyday thing. I keep easily about 8 to 10 bottles of sparkling in my fridge, so I won't tell anybody where I live. But there's some good stuff in there that I like to crack from time to time on a nice hot day. It is so refreshing. And best of all, it's one of the best palate cleansers you can ever have. Great way to start a dinner.
Going back to the rosé and the sparkling rosé, that's something that I got introduced to in France because I always, like a lot of Americans, I think I had this prejudice against rosé that it was like, so, you know what, it wasn't white, it's not red, it doesn't know what it is. It's just this kind of wine. No, that's not true at all. And the French adore it and they have entire, you know, runs and different kinds, sweeter rosés, drier rosés, some with sparkling, some not. And it is delicious with food.
It's fabulous with food. But again, too, it's a great way to start an evening with something like that. And then you can graduate to one of your nicer reds, if you like, to a Pinot Noir, to a Cabernet, whatever it might be. It's the idea of trying something a little bit different. You know, and I will say this when it comes to rosés. Some people look back to the days of white Zinfandel and go, oh, you know, it's going to be that sweet again, syrupy thing. We owe a lot. All of us who love wine and certainly like to buy good wine, fine wine, owe a great debt of gratitude to the white Zinfandel because that's what brought a lot of us along into getting into better wines. Sutter Home, Behringer, these were the labels that put that in the mainstream market, and they did a great job of it. No more than sideways brought Pinot into the market, you know. So now we've gotten into these rosés, and we understand that they could be Grenache, they could be Cab, they could be Pinot Noir, and they're wonderful. It's just about how much time the juice stays on the skin.
Well, speaking of trying things and seeing and tasting new things, you're back out to California next week, right? Or the week after?
I'll be out there next week, yes. I leave sometime around the middle of the week, and it's going to be Auction Napa Valley. Again, this will be our eighth time for Life Between the Vines visiting and reporting. We'll be doing the barrel auction only this year, and that's probably the most fun part of it because it's the most maniacal, crazy, wild energy part. But it's also something that everyday folk can take part in. There is an e-auction on the barrel auction. You can jump online by visiting the Napa Valley Vintners Association site, and you could bid via the internet. Of course, you can go there as well. And what the whole idea of the barrel auction is winemaker will make a special wine. They'll make basically a barrel of it. And the top 10 bidders will get a case each from that, depending on what they bid. So if you bid early, say, for example, on a very fine wine, $200, and the 10th bid could be $10,000, just depending on what increments the bids go on, you could be walking away with a pretty amazing wine for a very inexpensive price. Years ago, I bid on a Burgess Cab, which I believe would sell averagely around $70 back then. And I paid $500 for a case. I think I was the 10th, the final bidder. And I lucked out, you know, because I think it went for probably about triple what I paid for. It's a pretty fun event.
So how long are you there?
I will be there about 7 days.
Okay.
So there'll be the barrel auction. There'll be some dinners. We're going to attend a dinner at Trefethen Winery. Thanks to our friend Mimi Gatens from Trefethen Winery. Trefethen's race car is going to be at Elkhart Lake. I believe the last week of June.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll be also doing a report from there. So we'll be attending a dinner at Trefethen. We'll be at the barrel auction. And a number of other events take place during the week. It's a little bit of priming the pump. The actual final auction, it takes place at Meadowood Country Club on Saturday. And at this point, we're not going to be there. It's a very intense day for us. So the barrel auction pretty much puts you under anyway. So this is really the time we have the most access to people is during the barrel auction. So it'll be a lot of fun.
So you'll be recovering?
Resting.
Resting. That's it. Resting. Well, Ray, it is always great to see you. Have a great summer. Safe travels out to California, and we will talk to you when you get back.
Thanks. You take care.
Wine contributor Ray Pfister is the co-creator and voice of the wine blog and podcast Life Between the Vines. Pfister is also owner and engineer at Fifth Floor Recording Company. Another break now, and then dance and music playing out under the stars among the landscape of the Linden Sculpture Garden this weekend. We'll hear more when Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio.